الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، the next section is probably the most important section from the morning section. Things to avoid. We heard many hadiths of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam regarding the virtues, the benefits of Ramadan, the reward and virtues of fasting. And we've heard much about worshipping Allah, direct forms of ibadah, dhikr of Allah, dua, salutations, supplications, salawat, recitation of the Quran, etc. However, what I'm going to talk about now is much more and far more important than any of this. Much more important than any of the things that we discussed and talked about in the morning, which is avoiding sins in Ramadan. Avoiding of sins is something that's necessary, compulsory throughout our life, without a doubt. Right? It's always necessary. But in the month of Ramadan, it becomes even more important that we stay away from sins, brothers and sisters. Avoiding sins is such an important obligation. It's more important than any kind of ibadah that we talked about. Sins are prohibited at all times, but they have special significance. Avoiding sins has a special significance in Ramadan. Because just like the reward for good deeds are increased, you know, the opposite is also true. The punishment and the severity of committing a sin is also multiplied and increased in the month of Ramadan. So therefore, brothers and sisters, remember, Ramadan is not just about fasting. And this is very unfortunate. Back to what we were talking about, cultural things. We think Ramadan is, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful, it's, you wake up and you do suhoor and have a nice family gathering, iftar, nice meeting where, you know, iftar, like in some countries I've seen that they have restaurant, parties in restaurant for iftar, yeah? I don't know where I was in Syria, I think I saw this, or Egypt, I'm not too sure, but somewhere. And, you know, they have these events where there's like complete intermingling, interaction, music, iftar celebration, you know, this is the month of, it's fun. That's what Ramadan is for some people. Completely against the spirit, the Islamic, the true spirit of Islam about Ramadan. What is fasting? What does Allah say about fasting in the Quran? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, the famous verse. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been made fard, obligatory upon you. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. As it was made obligatory upon those before you. And then what does Allah say after that? You must have heard of this verse. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why do you fast? O believers, why do you fast? So that you may acquire, gain, obtain, achieve. What? There's something that you might acquire by fasting. You may. It depends. Some of you may not. It's a means of gaining what's going to be mentioned. But some may not. Gain what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Taqwa. What is taqwa? Unfortunately, there's no one word that can translate the word of taqwa in English. There are many words like that in the Arabic language. It's a very rich language. Like the word fitna. You can't translate it in one word. There's many meanings. Taqwa, some people say, is the fear of Allah. It's not just the fear of Allah. There's many meanings. Fear of Allah, abstinence from sins. And basically having this understanding, the conscience of knowing and having this understanding and thought always in your mind that Allah is watching every single step of yours. Whatever you do, ultimately you will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is taqwa. Everything. But you know when people get married? You know the sermon, the khutbah of marriage, the imam in the masjid. You know when we had a fiqh of marriage course a while back? There are three verses the imam has to read, which is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have no mention of marriage in them. They have nothing to do with marriage. There's verses of marriage in the Quran, but the sermon, the khutbah of marriage, there's no mention of those verses. The three verses chosen are the three verses of taqwa. Why you do taqwa when you're marrying, especially? Because now you have a special interaction. You have children, you have a family. Every step of our lives, we have to have taqwa, the fear of Allah. This is what, and this is the real of basic purpose and objective of fasting. Rasulu taqwa, acquiring of taqwa. Why do we fast? So we acquire taqwa. Fasting is just a means. There are many ways of acquiring taqwa. Like Allah has mentioned, there's many ways. But fasting is only a what? A means. Dhari'a, wasila. Fasting so that we may acquire taqwa, which means absolute abstinence from sins. Okay, so fasting is like a training course. Why is it a training course? Because, you know, in fasting it's difficult, extremely hot. In the middle of summer you are fasting, 1 p.m. you're in the middle of your room, there's a cold freezer there, some nice cold bottles of, you know, Coke and some cans of Pepsi and 7-Up or whatever, or Ribena. Well, some people say Ribena is haram, I don't know where that came from, but anyway. These kind of drinks are there, cold drinks. And nobody's watching you. If you want to open a nice cold drink, drink it. But for the sake of Allah, you know and you understand your Lord is watching over you. This is taqwa, you're training. Training to gain taqwa. But this is why the hadith which I mentioned earlier on, he left his food, he left his drink for my sake, and his desires for my sake, Allah said. So fasting is a means of gaining taqwa, it's a training course. And this is why many scholars have said that, you know, normally a human being commits sins because of two elements in his body. We have al-quwwatul Shahwaniya, and we have Al-Quwatul Ghadabiyya. Quwatul Ghadabiyya is the angry soul, the angry nature of the human being, like some of the list that is coming. It's the anger of the human being. Many sins, and literally we see 50% of the sins are connected to, you know, really going back to this angry nature of the soul. And you have Al-Quwatul Shahwaniya, which is the sexual nature, or the desire of the human being. Okay, many of the sins are connected to that of the Muslim. Now, in fasting, there's control. Allah wants us to control both these two powers, these two elements in the human body. If you eat less, if you drink less, you're fasting, it will help you, it will help a believer, a Muslim, abstain from sins connected to Al-Quwwatu Shahwaniya or Al-Quwwatu Al-Ghadabiyya. So, in summary, fasting is a training course to avoid sins. Basically, that's what we're fasting for. Allah says, look, fast so that you have a, you know, like a driving lesson. Yeah? Fast, this is your driving, this is your swimming lessons. So that after 30 days of fasting, you learn how to swim, you learn how to obey Allah and avoid sins. After Eid now, you've 30 days, you've had lessons to avoid sins, now avoid them. So in reality, we should be fasting in order to avoid sins after Ramadan. What about the person who's fasting and sins in fasting, when, you know, in the driving lesson you go and start having accidents and just doing all sorts of stuff? We are supposed to, it's like a driving lesson we're taking, and you just go on straight into the water. And driving is just, what are you doing? Okay, it's no matter. The whole purpose, objective is defeat. Okay, so this is the whole objective of fasting. And fasting, this is why, I mean, there's much mention regarding this, that, you know, the example I gave that just came to my mind right now about this driving lesson, and, you know, why isn't driving lesson? But one example given by one of my teachers, Sheikh Taqi Uthmani, Habibullah, he mentions a beautiful example. He gives an example of an air condition. You're in a room, it's hot, you put the air condition in the car, you put the air condition on, and you open up the windows. No benefit. It's not going to get cold. Okay? So it's if we commit sins whilst we're fasting, we're opening up the windows. The door is open of the room. There's no air conditioning taking place. Okay? Or if you put a heater on and you just open the doors from outside, cold air and wind is coming. So it's absolutely necessary. And also, we should remember that, look, it doesn't make sense if a person commits sins in fasting. Because what is fasting? You know the definition, we'll talk about the definition, the fiqh of fasting to come. The definition of fasting, the ta'arif definition, is to abstain from eating. Eating pork? No. Eating what? Anything, which means halal food. Your chicken and your meat and your fish and drink and water. Okay? So avoiding what? Food. Avoided drink. What, alcohol? No. Avoiding a cup of water. And your desires. What, unlawful desires? No. With your spouse. All these things are halal. In reality, normally, even in the nights of Ramadan, they are all permissible, allowed, permitted, legal, lawful, halal forms of actions. All of them. Now imagine a person in the month of Ramadan, he is staying away from the normal halal acts, but then he commits a sin. As we talk about those sins, arguing and backbiting and this and that, there's no benefit of that fast. Seriously, there's no benefit, there's no reward of the fast. It's absolutely important that we stay away from sins, because the sins have been prohibited unrestrictedly. Food, drink and desires are unlawful in Ramadan only for a short period of time, whereas sins are forbidden unrestrictedly at all times and in all situations, in every place and every time. And some of the ulama, they gave an example. They said the example of the person who fasts and then does not avoid sins, you know how, what his example is? Is like the person who does not offer his fard prayer but does nafil and sunnah. Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentions this in his book. Because you are avoiding food, drink and desires and sexual relations, which is normally halal. But not avoiding sins is like you're doing nafil. You know, you go for dhuhr prayer right now, 4 rakat sunnah, and then when everybody starts praying the 4 rakat fard, he goes, I'm going to have a cup of tea. Then you come back to 2 rakat sunnah. That's exactly the example of the one who fasts in the month of Ramadan but does not stay away from sins. Because staying away from sins is far more important. One of the early scholars said the easiest of fasts is the one who just leaves water and drink and food and relations, desires. That's not the real fasting. Fasting is normally means fasting is a lifetime of fasting. Eid is when your death comes. You see the moon, you know, we're all fighting about the moon. There'll be no fighting there. You know when the moon comes, your death. That's the real moon of Eid. Whole lifetime of fasting from sins. Okay, so this is very important. Now, some of the sins that I thought might be important to avoid. Most of them are connected to the tongue. There's special emphasis. Sins of the tongue are important anyway to talk about, but there's special emphasis in Ramadan about abstaining from the sins of the tongue, because there's special mention of them in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a topic itself. You can do a whole talk on the sins of the tongue. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin radiallahu anhu narrates, he said, هَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ وَالْسِنَتِهِمْ. Has anything, nothing has made the people fall on their faces in the fire of hell except the sins of their tongue. The sins of the tongue are extremely dangerous. They're dangerous. Many sins of the tongue. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in one hadith that you sometimes one utterance, one statement can make you enter the fire of hell, and one statement could make you enter Jannah. That's how important this tongue is, the mouth. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Every word, every statement, everything we say, it's all been recorded. رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, by the angels. Now, and there's a hadith of Sahih Bukhari, special connection with fasting. Hadith of Sahih Bukhari, you know what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Has anybody heard this hadith? مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Whoever does not leave and abandon sinful talk. قَوْلَ الزُّورِ has a comprehensive meaning, but you can say sinful talk, which includes lying and everything else, with the tongue. وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, and acting upon sins. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ. Allah is not in need of him remaining hungry or thirsty in fasting. Allah doesn't need us to be hungry. If we don't avoid sins, why do we stay hungry and thirsty for the sake of Allah? So if we're not avoiding sins for the sake of Allah, Allah doesn't want us to be hungry just to be hungry. We have to avoid sins. And really, you know, avoiding sins, if, let me just mention this to you. Imagine somebody didn't fast in the month of Ramadan. I'm not saying you don't fast here, you have to fast. Imagine somebody didn't fast. He left out a fard, right? He is what? What is he? Go on, speak, brothers, sisters. What is he? A sinful person, right? A person who leaves out a fard. What kind of sin is this? What kind of sin is this? We have two types of sins. حقوق العباد, حقوق الله. Rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rights of the servants of Allah. Which one is this leaving, not fasting, in which category does this sin fall? حقوق الله. Somebody sits there backbiting. What kind of sin is this? حقوق العباد. And we have a basic understanding of Islam. حقوق العباد مقدم على حقوق الله. The rights of the servants of Allah are more important than the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you had two individuals, there's one says, I'm not fasting one month of Ramadan, but he doesn't use his tongue and he doesn't harm people. Another one, he fasts all day, all 30 days and tarawih, this and that, but it's all his, like scissors, you know. Which one's the worst of the two? The one who's backbiting. There's no shadow of doubt in this fact. He'd never fasted the other one for 30 days. He violated the right of Allah. Allah can forgive him, but if he wants, he just has to, you know, 1 minute, make tawbah, repent. But that person, he has to go and seek forgiveness from every single human being that he, you know, harmed and backbited behind their backs. So abstaining from sins is more important than even fasting. That's the point I want to get across to you. Do we think about that ever? I don't think so. Do we think about the importance of the sins of حقوق العباد? The rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ. Listen to this hadith. This is a hadith in Sahih of Imam Ibn Hibban. لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. Fasting really is not about avoiding food and drink in Ramadan. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, fasting is not about avoiding eating and drinking. Rather, fasting is abstaining from al-laghwu wal-rafath, sinful talk, foul mouth. Laghwu wal-rafath. فَمَنْ حَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ. Allah says when you do hajj as well, do not be foul mouth. Do not be slanderous in your conversations. That's what fasting is about. Sahih of Imam Ibn Hibban, a rigorously authenticated Sahih hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, he said, كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ وَالْعَتَشِ وَكَمْ مِنْ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. How many people are they who fast but have nothing except food, hunger and thirst, remaining hungry and thirst from their fast, nothing, no reward? And how many people stay awake in the middle of the night but they have nothing except waking up and just avoiding sleep, sleeplessness, that's it, nothing else. Again, these are those people who fast, and what do? They sin. These are those people who pray 2 rak'ahs of tahajjud, then a sin. Seriously, it's something we really have to give importance to. Look at these certain sins that I thought were important. Al-Ghadib, lying. We all know lying is absolutely, fundamentally, categorically, totally haram. Unlawful in Islam, completely. Okay? It's a sign of being a hypocrite. Ayatul Munafiq. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayatul Munafiq, thalath. Three signs of a hypocrite. Number one, when he speaks a lie. He says a lie. He lies. Okay? So we all know that. But do we avoid lying? Alhamdulillah, some of us do, some of us don't. But we have to ensure that in the month of Ramadan, special significance given to avoiding lying. Okay, and many of us more or less do avoid lying. Not those who have principles, they would more or less, you know, lying. Most people do avoid. But the next one, this sin is so common within us, brothers and sisters, but it's probably the worst sin that a Muslim can ever commit, backbiting, al-ghiba. It's the root cause for all facade, all evils and corruptions in the world that we find. It's the root cause for the breakdown of family, breakdown of marriages, breakdown of relationships, breakdown of everything, ghiba. It's such a grave sin. I've talked about this a lot, but I personally absolutely abhor this sin. I mean, what am I to abhor? I mean, it's in the hadith. But it's such a dangerous sin, but the problem is that it's the most common in our communities and societies. So-called practicing people as well. No importance given to backbiting. Such a dangerous disease. What does Allah say? وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Do you like to consume the flesh of your dead brother's body? It's like cannibalism. You're consuming the flesh of a human being, and this is a person who's dead. Allah is trying to tell us that, look, this person is like a dead person. If you're talking bad about someone, then he's not able to defend himself because he's not dead. It's like a dead person. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked once to the Sahaba, he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ. Do you know what backbiting is? They said, Allahu Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah is best, you know best. He said, ذِكْرُ, the definition. ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. You're mentioning something about your brother or sister, that which he or she dislikes. Anything that if you think that they will not like you mentioning that about them, it's backbiting. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ. What's your opinion? What about if I say something which he dislikes, but he actually has that in him? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is what is backbiting. And if he does not have what you mentioned regarding him, فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ. That's slander and false accusation, which is another sin altogether. A person who falsely accuses a Muslim, even a non-Muslim in a Muslim country where you have, you know, all the Islamic rules and the Islamic penal law enforced, there's 80 whips and lashes. False accusation. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Allah says in the Quran, when somebody brings a news to you about someone, make sure you investigate. First of all, it's not even mine or your job to investigate. We don't work for the FBI. Okay. People do sins, that's between them and Allah. You know in the Quran, Surah Al-Hujarat, read in Ramadan, the verses. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. O believers, avoid suspicion. Don't think bad about people. When you see someone, yeah, this guy's a dodgy character, this guy's like this and that. Always give people benefit of the doubt. Think always good opinion about people. When I see a brother, and I'm sure this person is an absolutely wonderful, beautiful Muslim. Many times, rather me. That's what we should think. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Suspicion, do not suspect people of doing bad things. And then somebody might think, okay, you know, I will not suspect, just suspecting people, because without knowledge to think somebody is a sinner, I won't suspect. You know what I'll do? I'll go and investigate. So I'll find out for sure whether he is, whether he has a girlfriend or not, or whether he is an alcoholic or not, or she is, you know, whatever. I'll go and investigate. So Allah straight away, you know what he said? اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. After he said, in بعض الظنيات, he said, ولا تجسسوا. Do not become a spy. That's not your job. You don't work for the FBI. You don't work for the Secret Service. It's not mine and your job to go and spy and investigate who's doing what and how much sin is involved in. If something's apparent in front of you for the sake of Allah, you give someone nasiha, guidance, you make dua for them, that's it. It's not our job to go and look into the private affairs of people. And then spreading something about someone is even worse. That's a major sin. Even if somebody's involved in a sin, you want to just tell people that this guy's a sinful person. That's not your job. You just go and do your job home, or whatever you need to do. And then if somebody thinks that, okay, I will not spy. The first one was, do not have suspicions. Somebody said, I'll go and find out for sure. Allah said, do not spy. Somebody said, okay, I won't. I don't have to even go and spy. The sinful act is right in front of me. What about now? This is a great order mentioned by Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah in his commentary. He says the reason why Allah mentioned these three sins in an order is don't suspect. Somebody might think, okay, I won't suspect without evidence, I'll investigate. So Allah says straight away, do not become a spy. So somebody might think, okay, I don't have to spy, I know it's right in front of me. Then, can I talk about it? So straight away Allah said, do not backbite. This is the order. Evil, suspicion, spying, suspecting, spying, and backbiting. Three sins in order which are all completely totally haram. These are all huquq al-ibad. The rights of the servants of Allah. We forget huquq al-ibad. We just think Islam is just about huquq Allah, just about praying and that's it and finish. And fasting and dressing and Muslim and everything. And everything else is put aside. And within, listen to this hadith. So backbiting, as I said, brothers and sisters, make a firm resolution. At least in the month of Ramadan, we will not backbite. Firm resolution, that's at least one thing you can take away from here, then alhamdulillah, it's successful. Everybody make firm resolutions? Full month of Ramadan. At least start off. Imam al-Bukhari, you know Imam al-Bukhari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says about himself, sometimes it's okay to say things about yourself if you think it's going to benefit people. Says, since the time that I became aware of the prohibition of backbiting, which was when he was in his teens, till I died, when I heard the hadith, I never backbited in my life. I am sure of that. I am confident of that. I can assure you, this is what he says. And that's why he reached a level that he wrote Sahih al-Bukhari. This is Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu. It's such a common illness and disease that even practicing people don't realize. We're in the midst of ibadah. Like you're reading the Quran, alhamdulillah, you know, reading Amma Yatasa'aluna 'anil Naba'il 'Azhim. Phone rings. Assalamu alaikum, yeah, sister. Oh, yeah, I heard about her. Yeah, she's such an evil person. Honestly, she's such a, you know, whatever word that she used, they use. Or sometimes she's like this. And yeah. Don't worry, I have to tell you, I have to fill you in with all the stuff about her and everything. Okay, let me just finish my two lines. Let me just finish my surah. Let me just finish my, you know, like, chapter or page, then I'll call you back, yeah? And then you finish off with all the recitation of the Quran, half an hour backbite, and all this has gone down the drain. No benefit. You'd rather you didn't pray the Quran, just go to sleep and not talk to anybody and no backbiting. Just feel this in the month of Ramadan. Like one of the chefs, my father was actually saying this to me a few days ago. He said that, what he says to people is that the human being, the Muslim, male or female, who seals his lips for her lips in the month of Ramadan has indeed had a very successful Ramadan. If you want to success, you don't have to do nothing, just seal it. If you don't want to even read the Quran or another thing, just seal. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. The one who believes in Allah on the final day, let him say that which is good, or just shut up. This is the hadith. Remain quiet. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. And listen to this hadith about backbiting, and then we'll move on. This is an authentic hadith. It's not a fiction story. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu. Imam Ahmad, one of the four Imams, he's a hadith scholar as well. He's got a collection of hadith, like in 20, 25 volumes. Depends on the print that you have. There's a hadith in his Musnad. At least it's Hassan, which means, you know, authenticated, sound hadith. There were two women in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who were fasting. And they became extremely hungry and thirsty. كَادَتَ أَن تَمُوتَ أَن تَمُوتَ. It was very close that they would both die because of hunger and thirst. Now one of the rulings is, which we'll talk about in the afternoon, is that if you're really hungry to the point that you fear for yourself, then it's permissible for you to break your fast and just do qada, you don't do kafara. So somebody came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and related their situation, that look, there's two women who are extremely hungry. Extremely hungry and thirsty, they are close to dying. Do they have a concession, a dispensation, a rukhsa to just break their fast? Can they eat? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call them to me. And both these women came. He told them, both of you vomit in two utensils. في قدح. فَقَاءَتَ مِلْءَ قَدْحٍ. A big utensil, both of them vomited. And the whole utensil was filled with their vomit. ماءً وصديداً ودمًا وصديداً ولحمًا. They vomited blood, pus, and flesh. This is not made up. This is not something that the Prophet saw a dream and this happened in Mi'raj. This is in the time of the Messenger physically. Okay? So the Messenger he said, إِنَّ هَتَيْنِ صَامَتَ. Both of these two women, they fasted. They abstained. Fast means to abstain, literally. They abstained and fast. They stayed away from عَمَّا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمَا. From that which Allah made halal for them. Food, drink, and relations with your spouse. But وَأَفْطَرَتَ. But they made iftar. They did not stay away from عَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا. From that which Allah made haram for upon them, which was backbiting. جَلَسَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا إِلَى الْأُخْرَى. Both of these two, since they've been fasting, they've both been sitting next to one another. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually said, جَلَسَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا إِلَى الْأُخْرَى. They both said, let's have a nice, you know, majlis, gathering. They both went and sat together. فَجَعَلَتْ يَأْكُلَانِ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ. They both started eating the flesh of the people. And this is all the flesh and the blood and the pus that they are vomiting, it's the flesh of the people. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a form of, you know, admonishment, does that. It's not physical flesh. Somebody might say, it's not physical flesh. Okay? In the Quran, when Allah says that do not consume the flesh, it's not physical, it's a resemblance, it's an analogy. But sometimes, in order to show the severity, just to give a lesson to us, Allah makes this happen in the world. So in the time of the Messenger of Allah, this happened. So, you know, really avoid it. Really avoid it. Especially, you know, all these long mobile, you know, the phones, minutes, 1,000 minutes, and 10,000 minutes, and 25,000 minutes, I don't know how many minutes. I don't know if somebody's got 25,000 minutes, but best not to have no minutes. The less you talk, the better. Because, you know, if you start talking, then you just end up backbiting. Just generally. Avoid. Just try, you know, minimize. Just get busy and involved in what you need to do. Just avoid. But just avoid discussing other people. Okay, ghiba is very bad. Number three, what's written there? Tale-bearing. It's connected to ghiba, backbiting. The only difference in tale-bearing is tale-bearing is a sin in which you backbite others with the intention of harming them. In a ghibah, there's no intention of harm. You just talk about them because you just like talking about them. Okay, because you just enjoy, a person enjoys talking bad and evil about other people. But in talebearing, you actually want the person who you disclose the information to actually go and harm that person. Or not that person or somebody else, he might tell or she might tell somebody else. Something bad, evil will happen to that person. Okay, so that's talebearing. Again, a major sin. Allah says in the Quran about talebearing, حَمَّازِ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. It's called namima in Arabic, namima. النَّمِيمَةُ. And the one who talebears has also been called قَتَّات. In the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَتَّات. The one who is involved in talebearing will not enter Jannah. Okay, so it's a you know, very big sin. And also there's once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by, you know, two graves, the famous, and he said they've been given punishment in the grave. One of them, أَمَّا هَذَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرَ فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. One of them would not stay away from the drops and splashes of urine, and the other one was a talebearer, and that's why he's been punished in his grave. So talebearing is also, you know, especially talebearing has this element of being two-faced in it. And that being two-faced in itself is a major sin. There's a hadith in Surah Al-Tirmidhi where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَتَجِدُونَ شَرَّ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ذَا الْوَجْهِينَ الَّذِي يَأْتِي هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ وَهَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ. The worst of people on the Day of Judgment that you will find is a two-faced person who comes to a group of people with one face and goes to another group of people with another face. You go to the father with another face, with the son with another face. Go to the mother-in-law with another face, the daughter-in-law, you go with another face. With the mother-in-law, you're on her side. With the daughter-in-law, you're on her side. These are all evils of the society. And Islam is about all of this more than, you know, many of the other things that we think Islam is only about. You have to really focus and keep these things in mind. Okay, so that's namima, tale-bearing. What's the next one? Very important. Quarreling and arguing. Al-jidal wal-miraw in Arabic. Has special connection with the month of Ramadan. Why? Because when people are, normally when you're fasting, you are, remember what did I mention? Fasting is actually trying to curb and control the two natures in the human being. Al-quwwatul ghadbaniyya, al-quwwatul ghadabiyya, and al-quwwatul shahwaniyya. The angry nature, the angry soul, and the lustful nature. The angry nature of the human being and the lustful nature. So when you fast, that's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. He was addressing a group of young people once, and he said, if you can marry, marry, and who is not in a position to marry, then fast. Because fasting, فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ. Because fasting helps you avoid sins. So fasting controls, well, should control. It should control the angry nature of the human being and the lustful nature. But why it does not sometimes control? Because when we say fasting, it's not the pizzas and kebabs and donuts and this and that. Okay? It's a normal, simple fast which the Messenger of Allah is to keep. No, that's the reason which the ulama mentioned. It's not for me. When he was talking about a fast which he and the Sahaba would observe, with a bit of dates, few dates, and some water. That if, because it's eating less helps curb the lustful nature of the human being. Control, it helps to control the sexual desires. And likewise in the fasting, it should help control your angry nature. But people get more angry whilst fasting. That's quite funny. Whilst fasting, it should help us control our anger, because we've eaten less, we don't have the energy. That's how it's supposed to be. Again, why? Because we've eaten a lot in suhoor, and we'll eat a lot again in iftar. And then probably after Taraweeh, we'll go for a burger somewhere, and some pizza and some chips. People need more. That's the reason why both of these two things these two objectives are not gained. It's eating less. If you eat less, you don't have that energy, you don't have that power, you know, you don't have that agility in yourself, you don't have that power to argue and fight with someone. So it's helping you. This is why we fast. So avoiding quarreling and arguing. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Imam Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ. When one of you is fasting, do not slander. وَلَا يَسْخَبْ. Do not yell. Shout. Meaning an argumentation. فَإِنْ سَابَّهُ أَحَدٍ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. If someone comes and wants to fight with you, someone wants to come and argue with you, somebody swears at you, قَاتَلَهُ or fights you, just say, you know what, brother, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. I'm fasting, please, just leave me alone. Sorry, I don't have energy to fight back. Inni sahib. Just say inni sahib. I'm fasting. And just walk away. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Hadith of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. وَإِنْ جَهِلَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ جَاهِلٌ وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. Again, when somebody provokes you, jahil here means it's ignorance, but it's really, you know, see, jahil, you know, also has a meaning of being like a ignorant person who just, not the ignorant in terms of not just having knowledge, like, in the days of jahiliyyah, we're saying that they were in the days of ignorance, but they did not have the normal characteristics of life, being a gentle, I mean, normal qualities of a human being. So if somebody shows some unnatural characteristics, which means that he wants to argue and he wants to, he provokes you, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that don't retaliate, just say that, sorry, I am fasting, inni sa'im. Okay? So, it's very important. You see, anger has a great connection with fasting as well. There's special importance of controlling one's anger in the fast. It's a topic in itself, anger, ghadab. There's a definition for it, there are ways, remedies, you know the remedies, like, there are Islamic remedies. Recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, A'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-Rajim, drink water, send blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you're standing, sit down, if you're sitting, lie down. These are all Islamic remedies. And also, if somebody has a genuine problem of anger, then they should go and get some treatment there. There's nothing wrong Islamically, you know, for some anger management treatment, as long as nothing goes against Islam. Ghadab is one of the greatest spiritual diseases that a Muslim can have. At least we need to control this angry nature. Everybody has anger. Remember, there's nobody here saying that I'm not angry at all. Because that's not how Allah created us. Allah wanted, because we need anger at some times. That's the reason why anger was, somebody might ask, if it was bad, why did Allah create it? Because there is a lawful use for it. There is a lawful use for it. Sometimes you do need that anger. Very rarely, but sometimes you need it. Like one of the places is jihad, for example. So sometimes it's needed. But normally we all have that anger, but we have to control it, direct it in the right direction. Only use it when and if there is a need. So controlling anger is absolutely fundamental, necessary. Swallowing one's anger. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who swallow the anger and those who forgive other people, these are the muhsinun. These are the doers of good, and Allah loves those who are muhsinun. The muhsinun and the muhsinin and the muhsinat. Muhsinun and the muhsinat. This is going back to the whole topic of ihsan. But anyway, there's a companion once again, the Messenger of Allah, said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, give me a nasiha, give me advice, but make it short. Now, it's not disrespectful to do that, because sometimes, you know, you're in a hurry and just tell someone, just give me one small, short, brief, concise, one word nasiha. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تغضب. Don't become angry, that's it. Do not be angry. If you're not angry, you'll be saved from majority of the sins. So, special connection in this month of Ramadan, with anger has a special connection, which means that there's a special importance attached to controlling one's anger in the month of Ramadan and in whilst fasting. Look, I mentioned two hadiths, because this quarreling, we have to avoid it, brothers and sisters. Not just in the day, even in the night. Now, what happens in our communities? Go to some masjids, what happens? All day fasting, come for Taraweeh prayer, somebody puts the fan on, somebody feeling too hot, somebody feeling too cold, arguing about a fan. Come on. You need to get a life. Arguing about if you feel hot or cold. If you're feeling hot, if you can't, then Islam give you this provision, go home and pray your Taraweeh. It's okay. Where's this whole thing of Ithar gone? This aspect of giving preference to other people over yourself. That's what Islam teaches. It's not just about just coming to pray Taraweeh and you know, that's it, Allahu Akbar, and I'm a very good Muslim just because I've got the thawb on and I'm praying Taraweeh. Islam is not just about that. If a person cannot give preference, ithar, to other people over himself, then, I mean, what else is left from him as a Muslim? One of the basic qualities of Islam. People argue outside. They come in Ramadan. Most arguments take place in Ramadan, ironically. Outside, the people have parking problems, arguing. You blocked my car, I blocked your car. I know, I mean, I can't remember now, but because I'm not around too much to see all these things. When I was a kid, I remember when you were young in Leicester, every Ramadan we used to see all these fights after Taraweeh, outside the mosques. I can still totally remember. I'm sure they must be happy now, but now I'm not there. But you know, because we used to play around, you know, stretch the Taraweeh sometimes, miss a bit Taraweeh. You know, we're 6, 7, 8, 10 years old. Read 2 rakat, and then, you know, then my father finally tried to see, where am I? Did I read 20 rakat Taraweeh? Or was reading the Quran, how many mistakes? My father used to test me by asking me how many mistakes did the Imam have. So I used to go in quickly before 20, go inside the masjid, get one of your friends, come on, tell me how many mistakes were there. If I get caught out, then I'm dead. But anyway, we were young, so we used to play around. Taraweeh used to take place in the masjid, and we used to go outside, you know, playing hide and seek and this and that and whatever. But so many cases outside the masjid, straight after Taraweeh, and it's not just one masjid, many masjids all around the country, there's arguments about parking. Now, number one, brothers and sisters, to park in a wrong way is a massive sin. First of all, you're breaking the law of the country, that's a sin in itself. It's a topic, okay? If you're harming someone, it's a sin. There's once people think that they are, you know, what they're doing a favor on Allah for coming to pray Taraweeh. You're doing a favor that you're doing Salatul Jumu'ah, so that's why it's your God-given right to park anywhere and everywhere. Nobody's there to tell you anything. There was this one, we have a traffic warden in Leicester. He's actually one of my students. He's actually a graduate alim as well, a scholar. So then he's teaching as well, but he's become a traffic warden as well. Okay, giving tickets. I said, mashallah, we need alims to be traffic wardens. So he was telling me, he said, Muslims complain. He just goes and he came to ask me the mas'ala, that question. That, you know, Jum'ah time or Taraweeh time, or there's Muslims parking on double yellow line. Should I go and give the tickets? I go, yes, without a doubt, give him 2 tickets. Not just one. I didn't say 2. I just said, give him tickets. He said, some people have come and said, astaghfirullah, don't you, you know, aren't you a Muslim? We come to do ibadah here in the masjid and you are putting tickets in our car. So I said, tell him, are you doing a favor on Allah? If you break the law, if you're harming those one brother who actually blocked an ambulance entrance coming to pray Jumu'ah prayer, somebody could die. It's absolutely haram for you to come to the masjid by harming other people. It's not permissible. You can't harm. If somebody is harming others and coming to the masjid to offer Taraweeh prayer, then he should just, or she should just stay at home, not come to the masjid. It's better to pray at home. We'll talk about Taraweeh anyway. But it's better to pray at home than come to the masjid and harm people. And this is taken from the hadith. It's not from my own words. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say in the famous hadith? من أكل الثوم والبصلة. And in another variation, من أكل من هذه الشجرة الممتنة. Whoever ate, consumed garlic or onion or from distasteful things, then what did he say? فلا يقربن مسجدنا وليقعد في بيته. Let him not even come close to our masjid. Let alone come in the masjid. If somebody has consumed something that has an offensive smell to it, then he should not even come close to our masjid. وَلْيَقْعُدْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. And he should just sit at home. Who's saying this? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahih al-Bukhari. Rigorously authenticated hadith. Harming people with the offensive smell, that's less of a harm. Even that we don't take importance of. We don't give importance to this. That's why I've mentioned this on a few occasions. Maybe you might think it's probably exaggerating and it's too much. But even if iftar time, you know, we eat without cleaning our mouths straight into the masjid. Especially if your house is close by, one samosa in the mouth, one in the pocket, and quickly running, you know. To have as soon as possible, okay. Straight into the masjid, Allahu Akbar. Food that you've just consumed. And the worst is when a person has had a cigarette. Smoking, you know, people just outside the masjid, quick, few drugs. Allahu Akbar. And I've mentioned this before as well, that I had to actually break my prayer. This was last Ramadan or the Ramadan before. Somebody came next to me straight away, and Allahu Akbar. And that smell, you know, he probably had some cigar, I don't know, smoking, or I don't know what he had. Such an offensive and distasteful smell, I just could not bear it. I was coughing, so I had to leave. And I went in the next line and started again, next to somebody else, who had probably perfume on. But this is important, not harming. Besides the fact that, you know, it has harms and harming yourself. If you don't want to save your own health and don't want to look after your health, that's fine, that's you, okay? But it's more important that we, as Muslims, make sure that we don't harm other people. This quarreling and arguing is not just about, you know, just arguing and quarreling. It's any form of action that harms Muslims, non-Muslims, animals, anybody. Even animals. Because in Islam, we don't harm anybody. Anyway, move on to the next one. We just got two more left and we'll end, inshallah. The next two are related and they're very, very important. Very important. What's number number six? Is it number six?
Number five.
Okay. And so we only have six? Six, okay. I got six and seven, if I mistake. Okay, next one is al-ijtinab al-akl al-haram. Very important. Avoiding consuming haram food. Now this is again a sin that's important that we avoid throughout the year, but added significance attached to it in this, specifically in this month of Ramadan al-Mubarak al-Kareem. At least ensure that in the month of Ramadan we will not eat haram. We will try to eat not just halal but tayyib. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha ar-rusul kulu min at-tayyibat, and then he addressed the believers. He said, Ya ayyuha an-nas kulu mimma fil ard halalan tayyiba. O believers, O people, eat that which is halal and tayyib, lawful and pure. Absolute pure food. And this is why I said not just halal. Avoid all the, you know, food from the restaurants and from the, you know, the takeaways and fast foods. At least for the month of Ramadan. Pure food is that which is cooked at home by your mother or by your wife or by your sister. Somebody who's cooking who is maybe making dhikr of Allah, tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of Allah, cooking the food, there's barakah, there's blessings in that food. So eat that food. Okay? But again, in balance, remember, don't just shove them in the kitchen for 10 hours for your food. Just take it easy with balance. Simple food, as I mentioned, but eat halal and tayyib. So it's very important. Now, if we don't avoid this sin, what's happening? We're fasting. Our suhoor is with haram food. Iftar is with haram food. In the middle, we've got a fast. A plane that has no wings. Suhoor and iftar, both, we were eating haram. So it's very important that the ingredients of the food is halal. And also remember, du'as are not accepted. You know, there's a famous hadith where the Messenger of Allah, I can't remember where the hadith is, but where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited this verse and then he talked about a person. He said, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ أَشْقَثَ أَغْبَرَ. He mentioned a person who was completely disheveled in his clothing, his hair. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to describe a person whose du'a's application would without doubt be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentioned the reasons why his du'a should be accepted. He said he was disheveled, you know, somebody who had no wealth, no riches, nothing, and he was disheveled. Ash'ath al-bar. And Minas Safar, he was a traveler, remember? a traveler, his dua is accepted. He was a traveler, he was disheveled in his clothing, and he was also يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, he's raising his hands towards the heaven, towards Allah. If you raise your hands, du'as are normally accepted. يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي, he was saying يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي. When a person makes du'a to Allah by the words يَا رَبِّي رَبَّنَا يَا رَبَّنَا, normally, generally, du'a is accepted. Despite four reasons and much more, being disheveled, being a traveler, raising his hands and saying يَا رَبَّنَا, his dua should without doubt be accepted. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَأْكَلُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ. But however, his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, his nourishment is totally haram. He's been nourished on haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How can his dua ever be accepted? Du'as are not accepted. That's one of the reasons. And the last one, which is connected to this, brothers and sisters, very important. When we say eat halal food is not only the ingredients. It's the money that you use to buy that food. If you have this cup of water, but if you spend haram money to buy this cup of water, then this water becomes haram for you. Many of the times, unfortunately, Muslims think haram is only ingredients. We only are worried and concerned and bothered about the ingredients of the food and not the source of the income. There's somebody whose income is totally haram, yeah? Completely haram, and he's going to the shop, picking up some chocolate drink. Okay, let's look at the ingredients, E496, E41, E329. Come on, forget all that. It's a 1 pound you're taking out from your pocket. That's haram in itself. It's not going to make a difference now. Because your income is haram. More importance given to E496 than where you're working. Are you working in a bank? Are you working in interest-based transactions? Are you working with alcohol, which is completely haram? Allah Allah's curses on the one who drinks, the one who serves, the one who gives it, the one who takes, the one who serves it, the one who gives it. All of them are equal. The one who presents and serves alcohol is exactly like the one who is consuming alcohol. These two are clear sins, dealing with alcohol and riba and interest. We need to learn the fiqh of buyur, fiqh of business transactions next time inshallah. There are rules about business and trade. Now we don't think about this. Even if the food we bring is halal from an ingredients perspective, it will be haram if we have used and utilized haram income. So brothers and sisters, you know, at least in this month, look, some people, their main work and job is halal. They have a few haram elements here and there. It's easy for you to just, you know, adjust slightly. Some people, unfortunately, the whole work and job is haram. At least in this month, and this is the advice given by some of our elders, Sheikh Taqi Uthmani mentions this as well, that at least for this month, if you cannot just stop working, if you can stop working, take time off if you've got a haram job for this month. And make a firm resolution that in this month I will eat and provide myself and my family with halal food. If that's not possible, then take a loan from someone. Take a halal loan from someone, not interest-based loan. If you've got a friend, say for 30 days, I just need, you know, give me some money so that I can feed myself and feed my family. In this month, I want to eat halal completely and then pay him off afterwards. If we do that, inshallah, there's a possibility that Allah will help us maybe leave this job altogether after the month of Ramadan. So at least in this month, try. You know in the Quran when Allah talked about the prohibition of food, whilst fasting, yeah, that directly after that Allah mentioned the unlawfulness of consuming the wealth of people. Unlawfully. Which verse is that? And what's before that? And fasting. Yeah. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. You know, it's all about fasting. Allah said, in fasting, you can't eat and you can't drink and then you're i'tikaf. And straight after that, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not consume the wealth of people unlawfully. Some of the ulama said the reason is that Allah mentioned about fasting, that you stop, you avoid, abstain from eating and drinking. But after that, Allah straight away reminds us that don't earn unlawful money. Because if you're abstaining from eating and drinking and then you go and working with alcohol, then there's no benefit. There's no benefit of you leaving fasting and drinking. Remember, ultimately, our main objective is to please Allah. It's not the fast. It's not the form of the ibadah. Listen, one fast. In Ramadan, we will all be fasting. If we don't fast, we are sinful. On the day of Eid, if somebody fasts, then he is sinful. So it's not the fast. Even prayer, sunrise time prayer is haram. And when it's the time to pray, you have to pray. It's not the prayer itself. It's not the fast itself. It's ultimately, it's the pleasure of Allah. And Allah tells us, see, fasting doesn't have anything itself. So if we are, you know, unlawfully earning money and we are eating haram and feeding haram to people, the food the husband is bringing in the house, and sisters, if, you know, I mean, in marriage, you know, in the fiqh of marriage, the ulama, the scholars, the fuqaha, the jurists, they mention that it's actually sinful if the husband, you know, it's actually a grounds of divorce for a woman, that if the husband is not fulfilling her financial needs and providing with her with halal income, not just income, providing with a means of halal income. If he doesn't give halal income, it's actually a grounds of divorce. So anyway, it's very important. Halal income should not be taken lightly. We should really aspire and try our best that we should try to, at least in this month, have some halal income and provide halal food for our family and children, inshallah. And if somebody avoids these kind of sins and all these sins and many others in this month, inshallah, then that person will have a successful month of Ramadan. So give importance to these sins and just sins generally, and then from those acts of worship that we can do, you can do all of them, alhamdulillah, you can do some, then some, whatever you can do, as much as you can. But more important is avoid sins. If a person is going to do some form of ibadah and also sin, and there's a one who's no ibadah, no sin, then I'd rather be the one who does no ibadah and no sin. No optional ibadah, right? Just fasting and that's it, and Tarawih done, and that's it. Just people. If you think that, look, if I stay awake, I'm going to harm people. And if you think I'm not going to able to stay away from sins, then just go to sleep. Just close your curtains, go to sleep. Don't just talk to anybody or anything. Just eat and go back to bed. Go to sleep in dreamland. So we end with this.